Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my special guest in studio today, Minister Harold Copeland. We just want to say thank you for being faithful listeners to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart. And we can't say it enough. And we just love to know that God uses us to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, and we just love for God to use us to bring that you would listen and receive the richness of his word, that you would be filled, and that you would share the word of God as well. Hallelujah. And we thank God for just being his instruments in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are here again, ready, willing, and able to eat the richness or the meat of his word, that we could grow and go by his amazing grace. This is what God wants us to do, is to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's why we're here. And so we just say thank you, thank you, thank you for being a faithful listener, and most of all, being faithful to God the Father. So we are still in this wonderful series under the umbrella of discipleship, and we pray that it has really been a blessing to your soul, that you are learning from this series as Minister Copeland continues to bring the word of God in its simplicity and its richness. And we are focusing on part four of the very nature of God. So now, God told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, He told Moses to tell the king of Egypt, I am sent you. This is the type of authority. Everything comes under his submission. With this type of authority, God, everything comes under his submission. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things, don't miss that, all things were created through him and for him, according to Colossians 1, verse 16. So, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, to only God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. So we are going to continue to reveal the beauty of the very nature of God. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Hello, everybody. We welcome you. May God bless you. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, today we are in studio. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. Well, always want you to know that it is always an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. Thank God for your life. But most importantly, you got it. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And every time, I mean every time, you open your heart to receive the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge will take you to your divine plan that God has for your life. And you too shall stand and fulfill God's destiny plan for your life. As was said earlier, we are still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And also, as was said today, we will be discussing the topic, the very nature of God. And I'm so excited, full of joy. So we're just going to go ahead and dive right into the teaching. And you know, we always like to start out by reading our launch pad scripture. And our launch pad scripture comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, starting with verse 16 through verse 20.
Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Amen. And our foundation of scripture for this particular topic, the very nature of God, we will come out of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. This is a Pauline prayer. And this is a prayer that is recommended that we pray on a regular basis. So we're going to read the whole prayer as our foundational scripture. That's Ephesians chapter number 3, starting with verse 16. And we are going to read all the way through verse 21, the Pauline prayer.
Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now, to open the door to the teaching today, we want to read one more scripture, and we will come out of the book of John. John is considered to be the disciple that Jesus loved. He would find himself laying his head on Jesus' shoulder. That's John chapter 1, John chapter 1. And we will read verse 1, 2, 3.
John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made.
Amen. And we open up with two statements. The first statement is religion discredit God, because religion is based on laws, and man keeping laws to earn and to perform in the presence of God. Religion discredit God, but religion exalts man. Next statement. Relationship honors God. Relationship honors God. And to understand the true nature of God, we have to have a relationship with God. And we can't depend on earning or performing, please, our God. Now, one reason that God can be easily discredited is man, a human being, don't really know him. And you know that word know. Our definition of know is a hands-on, day-to-day, moment-by-moment, intimate personal relationship with God. And the reason people do not know him is because we have to know him according to the Word. The only way we can truly have that intimate, that hands-on, moment-by-moment, day-to-day, intimate relationship with God is through the Bible. Now, everybody has an opinion about what God is and about what God can do. But opinions does not give us an intimacy with God. The only thing, that means there's no other thing. The only thing God has given us to know, to have that hands-on, day-to-day, moment-by-moment, intimate personal relationship with him, and the only source that is truly reliable is his word. We must have the word of God in order that we may know him, his true character, and his true nature. Let us go to the book of Psalms. That will be the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Very familiar passage of scripture. Book of Psalms, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3.
Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
And we focus on meditate day and night. And what we use is faith. But James tells us that faith without works is dead. Meditate day and night. That word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The word of God, taking that 12-inch drop out of the head into the heart, and the word began to abide with us individually, and we begin to abide with that word intimately, and we begin to know, have our hands on, day to day, moment by moment, intimate personal relationship with God, to know him and the power of his might. Let's go to the book of Joshua. That's Joshua, the great warrior that followed Moses. Joshua, the great warrior that was honored to walk in the footsteps of one of the greatest prophets in the earth realm, Moses. What an honor. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Familiar passage of scripture. Verse 8.
Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Praise God. You know, to know the nature, and we have established in previous teaching within this topic, by scripture, that the true nature of God is love, the agape, the unconditional love of God. And from Psalms chapter 1 and Joshua chapter 1, there was a word, that word, a key word in both of those chapters, a key word, and if we was on Jeopardy, and the question, it was how to get to know the true nature of God. Answer is meditating on the word day and night. Meditating on the word day and night. It's a hard meditation. Allowing that word to get in the heart and savor it and taste it. Taste the sweetness of the word of God in your heart, in my heart. Joshua said, meditate. Psalms, King David said, meditate. It's not about religion. We can't just go to church on Sunday and automatically think that we'll develop an intimate relationship with God. Meditate on the word of God. But sadly, most Christians, notice I didn't say most people, I say most Christians, and most means the majority. The majority of Christians do not read God's word on a regular basis. So if the majority is not doing it on a regular basis, what I get from that is they're not meditating day and night. Because just to hear meditating day and night, that sounds like a regular basis. Meditating day and night, meditating day and night, meditate. That sounds like on a regular basis. Most Christians get a little here, and then maybe a little there. Maybe sometime a little TV preacher. Don't forget about Sunday. A little bit on Sunday. Pastor really preached. Pastor tore it up. What did he preach on? I forgot, but I tell you what, he was hooping and he tore it up. And see, that's not going to be enough to make a real difference in the life of a believer. It's not going to be enough to develop an understanding of God in his true nature. When we tap into the nature of God, with our hearts. Is our heart becoming one with his heart? And we develop that intimacy relationship with his nature. And based on the scripture that we used in the previous week, if you did not hear them, you have to go back and listen. The true nature of God is the agape. And that intimacy of our heart is an intimacy with the love of God. There's no relationship in the earth realm that is greater than that. Hallelujah. And it's good to have faith. But to prove we have faith, we're going to do some work. Amen. It is not our works that gives us faith, but it's our faith that makes us work to show that we have faith. Works don't produce faith. Faith manifests as work. And you say, what type of work are you talking about? Well, Psalm say meditate day and night. Joshua say meditate day and night. Let's see what Timothy say. 2 Timothy. That's the book of 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Very familiar passage of scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5.
2 Timothy 2, verse 5, reads this. And also, if anyone competes athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules.
Amen. Now, some people do read the Bible, and some do study God's word on a regular basis. But then we must realize that a lot of passages in the Bible give us a schizophrenia look at God. Be patient with me because I'm going to show it to you. A schizophrenia look at God. And some people are actually releasing that to be God's nature. He's a wrath, and he's a love, and then he's a wrath, and then he's a love. And we know that God is stable. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He doesn't carry us schizophrenic nature or attitude, for the Bible say a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. A host divided against itself cannot stand. It must be stable. It's either or. It's not either in or. But as we look at scripture, through a casual reading, it looks like it's either or. In one scripture, in the Old Covenant, God commands death by stoning because a man picked up sticks on the Sabbath. That's harsh. Commanded death by stoning because a man picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. That comes out of the book of Numbers. And we're going to read that. Let's just read that. On the seventh day, comes out of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 15. We're talking picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Numbers chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 32 through 35.
Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp."
Amen. Now, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. And we see clearly that this man picked up sticks on the Sabbath, and God commanded Moses to tell the people to stone him to death. Now, let's look at another passage in the New Covenant, the New Testament, again, out of the book of John. That's the book of John, chapter 8. Out of the book of John, chapter 8, starting with verse 3 through verse 11.
Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground with finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
Amen. We got two covenants. And we have two scenarios. Both did an act of sin. But let's compare the sins. One in the Old Covenant just picked up sticks. He just picked up sticks on the Sabbath. And he was stoned to death. And then we look at the New Covenant, the New Testament. This lady was caught in the very act. She was caught in the very act of adultery. Let's compare. Take time to compare. Picking up sticks, the act of adultery. Let's use our human nature because we're good at comparing sins. Picking up sticks, the act of adultery, which is greater. You know, sin is greater. Picking up sticks, the act of adultery. What sin is greater? And we all say the act of adultery. We would all say that. But the one that picked up sticks got stoned to death. the lesser sin got stoned to death. Amen. But the greater sin received the very true nature of God, grace, and through mercy received the very true nature of God. And I say this before we go in and harmonize, because we have to harmonize this and pull it out. It's not the sin in these two cases. And people will make a judgment. Well, look, God is mean and God is bad because he's wrath and he'll stone you to death if you do something wrong. And some people will judge God or get their assumption about God through that, just by looking at that, picking up sticks and getting stoned. Amen. And they'll go and walk with that and run with that. But then they won't take the time to look at adultery, the very act, receiving the agape, true love of God, grace and mercy, go your way. So what we say is, it's not the sin that makes the difference in this. No, it's the covenant. It's the testament. It's the time. In one covenant, sin had to be dealt with. But in the next covenant, sin is dealt with by Jesus himself. One is before Christ. And before Christ, people was hopeless. Only thing they had was the law. And the law in itself can't deal with sin. The law just tell you how sinful you are. But when Jesus showed up, amen, there was a big difference. It was a leading, oh, this is on the way to the cross. Amen. And the lady that committed adultery, she met Jesus. She met Jesus, and he was on the way. Amen. He was on the way to the cross. And we have to go in there, and we got to show how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is, how powerful our Lord and our Savior is. We can't take him for granted. Without Jesus, you can be stoned to death for picking up sticks without Jesus. But with Jesus, you can go your way and sin no more for being caught in the act of adultery. And by the power of the Spirit of the living God, I just sent that somebody in the radio land is without Jesus. And in their own way, in their own fashion, they've been picking up sticks. And they think that a punishment is coming to them. They've been doing something that they didn't have no business to do, and they know they've been doing it. But most importantly, they know they are empty. And they know that Jesus Christ is not living in their heart. And they know Jesus that came their way, but they said no. But I tell you what, this day is the greatest day of your life. This hour is the greatest hour of your life. Because Mission from the Heart Radio has been anointed by God for salvation. And the woman of God, Minister Kenita Smith, is under the anointing to take people to the cross and open the doors to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior. And by the power of the Spirit of God, I sense that it's time to stop, that it's time to drop, and it's time to pray, and it's time to put it in the hands of the woman of God, that she will take us to the cross that somebody might see Jesus. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a time for us to get intimate with God, to come to an intimacy with Him right now. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave. He paid the penalty of our sin and bridged the gap between God and people. Us. Jesus is the bridge. And according to 1 Timothy 2, it says, for there is one God, only one, and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Don't get that only one, Jesus himself. For Christ died for sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. According to 1 Peter 3:18, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. My brothers and my sisters, this is a time for us to allow Christ to come in to our hearts. Some for the first time, but those who are students, disciples of the Word of God, he comes and fills us up as we pour ourselves out, that he fills us up again, to just pour ourselves out again, over and over and over. For those who don't know him, who want to know him right now, this is a time for you to get serious and come to the throne of Jesus Christ, at the foot of Jesus, making your petition known to him. This is a time that we do not play around. So we petition you as brothers and sisters in Christ, interceding for you, undergirding you to humble your heart wholeheartedly, no half-heartedness, no fakeness, but as Minister Copeland said, with all humility and intimacy unto God. We don't play religion when it comes to surrendering our heart to him. This is serious. So if you do not know Jesus for yourself and you want to know him today, this day is the day that he set aside for you to come to know him intimately. So as we pray with you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we touch and agree. And for those of you who are interceding for a spouse or a disobedient child or a wayward child or maybe someone on the job, or maybe you're interceding for
a family member, or a close friend. Lift them up in prayer as we go to the foot of Jesus in prayer. And for you, humbly as you know how, giving your heart to Christ. So if you would pray with us, you humble-hearted, we together will pray a simple prayer as you ask the Lord and you surrender to him with a whole heart. So let's pray. Lord God, for you are my God. Abba, Father, you are the head of my life. I surrender my life to you, Lord, as simple and as humble as I know how. Lord, praying and crying out to you to fill me, set on the throne room of my heart, Lord over my heart. I believe by faith that you died on the cross for me. I surrender my life to you, Lord. You and you alone. That was not beautiful in any way, shape, or form. My mouth is dirty, unclean. Lord, I lay it at your feet. My actions, my thoughts, Lord, you know my thoughts, and I feel so bad, but I know you love me enough that I can come to you and ask for forgiveness, Lord. You allowed Jesus to die for me, and I thank you, Lord. Here I am. In all humility and reverence to you. I believe by faith that your word is true, that Jesus lives and he sits high with you as my intercessor, praying for me. Thank you, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I pray this with my brothers and sisters in Christ interceding with me in prayer. Here I am, Lord. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I pray and hope that you believe, not doubting, that you are a believer in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is an exciting time for us to rejoice with you as the angels rejoice in heaven with you, for you. And now that you are in the household of faith, the ark of salvation. Hallelujah. You are heaven bound, bound for heaven. Praise ye the Lord. This is a day that you should be excited, that you would want to seek out a Bible teaching church that would baptize you by submersion of water. And when you rise and get up, hallelujah, you can shout and let the world know that I am a Christ follower. Hallelujah. It's an exciting time to know that you love the Lord. We encourage you to seek out a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class within that church, that you would continue to grow and go in grace. That salvation is about experiencing Him, growing and going through His Word, that we would come from the milk of the Word of God in being young in the Word and grow into spiritual maturity when we start eating on the very richness of the Word of God, that you would be God's instrument to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doctrinally, sharing your heart, your testimony with others. For by your testimony, others can come into the ark of salvation. So Minister Copeland and I are just super excited that you have chosen your heart to Christ. So we are going to continue in our lesson after Minister Copeland has some joyful words to share with you because you have given your life to Jesus Christ. Minister Copeland?
Amen. I say congratulations for taking advantage of the opportunity to make the greatest decision that all mankind must make. A decision that immediately affects you now, but will affect you throughout all eternity. Right now, you've been elevated. You've been promoted. There's no greater promotion than the born-again experience. You have received the ultimate promotion, and there's no limitation on how high or how far you can go with this God. For he shall begin to reveal his divine plan, your divine identity, and you will begin to say you're greater than you think you are. You're mightier than you think you are. You're more successful than you thought you would be. Congratulations for entering into the love of God. You know, if that man who picked up the sticks on the Sabbath, if he had the opportunity to enter in, he wouldn't have got stoned. That's the old covenant. In the new covenant. See, God used the old covenant to show man without a savior. And he took a lot of time to show us what it looks like. What do that look like? What do that look like? A man. Mankind without a savior. What do that look like? Well, it looked like a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath and getting stoned to death. That's what it looks like. Amen. It looks like fire raining down heaven and destroying thousands of prophets. Man without a savior, what do that look like? It looked like a holy God that has to rise up and he say, if you do this, then that is going to happen. And releasing the consequences for sin. A God that has to judge sin immediately man without a Savior. And God went all through the Old Testament to show what it looks like. The ever need covenant. The covenant of people with God without a Savior. Yes. And some people today are teaching and preaching that covenant. We need the old covenant. Why? To see what happens when we sin without a Savior. Amen. To see the need for a Savior. To see a need to let Jesus pass by you on the way to the cross. Amen. They didn't have it. But then we look at a sin 1,000 times worse by our human measurement, picking up sticks, the act of adultery, 1,000 times worse. One didn't have a Jesus on the way to the cross. But the one who committed the sin 1,000 times worse in the act of adultery, she encountered a Jesus on the way to the cross. I don't know about you. I thank God I wasn't in the old covenant because I was in all the wrong places picking up sticks and doing all the wrong things. Amen. But I'm a New Testament believer. And even though I picked up sticks on the Sabbath, I encountered Jesus. And in this dispensation, beautiful dispensation of God. And that's why we can shout, and we can jump, we can run, we can kick, we can hit the tambourine, we can play the drum, we just play the harp. We can shout. Why? Because we got Jesus. And he'd been to the cross. And because he'd been to the cross, God don't know us by our sin, but he knows us by our Savior. People of God, the nature of God doesn't change. It has nothing to do with the sin, but it's the covenant that we have. This new covenant is so beautiful, and David even saw it. David was jealous. David said, blessed are those New Testament believers who God will never impute sin against them. Oh, what a wonderful covenant we got, that we can enter into that very nature of God, which is love. And we're going to stop right there, but next week we are going to just open up that old covenant just a little bit more and harmonize the old and the new so we can know that God is a God of love. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we say every meeting, what a blessing it is to eat at the King's table. Just relishing in his word, saturating our souls with the word of God that breathes, that is alive in us. And it is just a wonderful, wonderful series to understand, totally understand the very nature of God. A four-letter word, L-O-V-E, love. So we pray, Minister Copeland and I, that you would meet here again with us at Mission from the Heart Radio. Continue in the richness of this series. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, as you take with what you have learned and share it, apply it, and testify about it, and know that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away season after season, but the word of God in your heart deep-seated and rooted within you will remain forever and ever and ever. So we pray that you tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ that is within you, that they will also come into the ark of salvation. God bless you, and we will meet with you again at Mission from the Heart Radio.